Welcome, everybody, and Mirza Hashem will talk about Shavuos. But first, we didn't have Shir last week, so I wanted to say something about the Chukosai, which I saw a very nice concept from last week. And that is, but first we begin, we just want to make a Refuah Shleima. Specifically, we have a continued Refuah Shleima for Yehuda Aryeh Ben Hadassah Eidel, for Miriam Bas Victoria, and for Yitzhak Shmuel Yedidi, my good friend who's going for surgery, I understand, today, Yitzhak Shmuel Ben Pesha Sara. And he should have a Refuah Shleima. They should all have a Refuah Shleima in the Schus of our Torah. And, you know, it says Shabbos Himalizik. You know, we say on Shabbos, you're not supposed to say Refuah Shleima. So I say Shabbos Himalizik. So when Shabbos and Yontav come out, you know, then you a double whammy of Refuahs. So we have Shabbos coming, Yontav coming.
You want to know something?
So Yitzhak, between all of them, will be a real Refuah Shleima. Yeah.
Yeah. It looks like there's a minhag on Shavuos episode when they say that Sarah said there was something. It's a school of for refuah. Did you
hear okay.
about that?
No.
Because Vada Rabbanim is doing a campaign. If
oh, really?
Donate, then
oh, I'll find. We'll have to find out about it. You're welcome to pass around whatever it is. We're all interested in refuah.
No, I'm just saying I registered. I'm not selling it.
Yeah, I see. You don't get a commission. Okay. Anyway, so it says that in the last week's Sadr, it has the Teichicha. And in the middle of the Teichicha is a very interesting pasuk. In pasuk Mem Beis, if you have a chumash in front of you, can I see, just go and get the chumash right there in the closet, just put out a few. Take a look on page 371. So the pasuk tells us, Zacharti is bris Yaakov, and I will remember the bris of Yaakov, Vav is bris Yitzchak, and the bris of Yitzchak, Vav is bris Avram Eskor, and I'll remember the bris of Avram, the Eretz Eskor, I'll remember the Eretz Yisrael. So Lachar, it's a beautiful thing. Hashem is like sort of ending the Teichacha and telling us a beautiful thing. I'm going to remember Schus Avos. The only problem with this beautiful ending is it's not the ending. The Teicha continues. The Aretz Teyazim Mehem, the Teretz Es Shabso Sebe, Shama Mehem. It continues. So it would seem that this pasuk, as I'm going to remember the Avos, is in some ways a negative. So we have to understand in what way is Schus Avos, can it sort of bounce in a negative sense. So there's a famous Gemara that we've learned many times, and the Gemara says like this: Amar Marukfa, Marukfa said, Ani linyan zeh, I am in this way, the bechinas, let me just keep this up a little bit. Yeah, I was told last week people had trouble hearing. Ani bebechinas, I am the bechina of chomet ben yain. I'm like vinegar, the son of wine. Why? Next to my father. Kishocho basar ata, when he ate meat. So lohaya oichel gvina ad lamacher. He didn't eat meat and afterwards eat cheese on the same day. He'd wait another day. So ba'isa shah v'ilu ani and I mamtim rak l'suda bo. I just do like everybody else does. What's our halacha? You wait until, if you eat meat 6 hours later. Like Shabbos is a long Shabbos now. So you finish your suda at 2 o'clock and you eat all the shudas at 8 o'clock. You can have a cup of coffee. Why? Because 6 hours have passed. So I'm like that. V'zem ekor l'amtonis she'shoz bein bos v'cholof. Okay, so what did he say? What did Mokfa say? Mokfa made a statement. He said, I am compared to my father like vinegar, the son of wine. And he says, because he was very frum, and he waited a whole day, and I didn't wait a whole day. But Lecher, the question is, he didn't do anything wrong. To call him Koimetz Ben Yayin, I'm like vinegar compared to wine. Why did he insult himself, so to speak? Why did he say something so negative about himself? Lecher, so he didn't do like the Tata, but he did like the Halacha. As a Tata Ben Zeir Frum, so, you know, why is that Mechayiv him?
What maybe a minhag is valuable.
We'll see. So Mietzah Hashem, he says like this. So first he gives the teretz in the Magid, from the Dubner Magid. The Dubner Magid says, there was once an Ani, a very poor man, and he found it very hard collecting. And he saw that one of his friends was very good at collecting. He came in a lot more money. So he said, what's the secret to your success? So he tells him, he says, you know the difference between you and me? He says, you waste a lot of time because you go every single door, you knock on every door. Some people have money, some people don't have money. He says, but I'm not like you. He says, I'm smart. I take a look and I see where the rich people live. And I only go to the rich people who will give me money. So he says, so wait a second, how do you know who's rich and who's not rich? So he says, there's a secret. The secret is you look at the mezuzah on their door. If it's a big fancy mezuzah, you know, one of these big ornate mezuzahs, you know this is a rich man. That's the doors I go to. Okay. So this fellow was a little bit like a million bedillion, you know, he took it a little literally, and he went and he sees the borrowed money, and he went to a silversmith and he had them make for him a very fancy mezuzah cover, and he puts it on his door. So the friend who gave him the advice says, what are you doing? Why did you put this fancy mezuzah? He said, you told me this is where rich people live. When, how can you tell a rich person he has a fancy mezuzah? So he says, oi. He says, you shite, you know, as all these stories, fool. You know, obviously it doesn't make the person rich. It's just a manifestation of being rich. But you don't get rich by buying a fancy mezuzah. So he said, that's the same thing, or he says the Dubna Magid. What Marokfu was saying is, my father was really frum. He was really a tzaddik. He did it because that was the right thing to do, and he hit that level of doing it where he was going to go, and his fear of doing it there was so great, he was going to go the extra mile. He says, but I'm not there. By me to do it would just be a fake array. It would be like putting the mezuzah up on the door. And therefore, he says, that's the reason, says the Dubna Magid, to explain the difference. My Mar Ukva didn't do it. Mar Ukva maybe should have done like his father did. So that's why Mar Ukva didn't do it, because he felt it would not be an honest thing to do. It would just be like putting up a fancy mezuzah saying I'm a rich man when you're not a rich man. So okay, it's a nice terence. But it doesn't answer why he called himself Chaimetz Ben Yayin, vinegar, the son of wine. Why didn't he call himself wine, the son of fine wine? You know, I'm wine, my father's better wine. Why did he call himself Chaimetz Ben Yayin? Why did he call himself vinegar? What did he do wrong? He did nothing wrong. He did everything shkalocha. So he brings from the Meiri a wonderful, wonderful teretz on this. There's a story in Tanakh, which we're all familiar with, of the Bnei Eli, of the Bnei Shmuel, I'm sorry, the Bnei Shmuel. Because the Gemara says that the Bnei Shmuel did a chet. The sons of Shmuel, the great Shmuel HaNavi, did a chet. What was the chet? What was the sin of the sons of Shmuel? What was their great sin that they did? So the Gemara says like this, what was their chet? It's a mistake. When Shmuel got old, his sons became prophets. He became judges in Israel. The pasuk condemns them. They did not go in the way of their father Shmuel. What did they do wrong? So what did bedrachav? They didn't go in his ways. And the Gemara interprets this very literally. They didn't go bedrachav. What does the word derech mean? The path. They didn't go. What does it mean in his path? So he says, "V'chgam lato chato," and they also did sins. Elo also kamas avim. They didn't look like their father. Shai Shmuel etzadik mechazer mekaymus Yisrael v'dano so biarehim. Because what does it mean? They didn't go in his path. His path was he used to go and travel to judge. He used to go to all the different cities and he would judge. I have a cousin Yishev Refor Shlem also Avram Mordechai ben Bela. And he used to, I remember every time he came to Eretz Yisrael, I would see him. He was always in a cab going somewhere all over Eretz Yisrael to give shirim. So Shmuel, we used to go travel all over Eretz Yisrael. It says the Medrash, says the Gemara, his sons didn't. V'halam yidei shana b'shana beis el v'agilu, used to travel in order to judge Klal Yisrael. V'shafet Yisrael. And because his sons didn't do it, so they're considered chaitim. Therefore it says that's why they did a chet, because they didn't go in their father's way. So the Meiri asked the question, the same question we just asked. What about all the other Shaiftim? All the other Shaiftim didn't travel. All the other Nevi'im didn't travel. Shmuel was the only one who did it. So his sons were just doing what everybody else did. So why were they considered sinners if they were just doing what everybody else does? Shmuel was a tzaddik. He went out of his way and he went traveling. So the sons didn't do what the father did, was a shlecht. They did what everybody else did. So listen to what the Meiri answers, and this is really mechayev us before the shir. Some of us were having conversations about where we grew up, you know, and where ancestors grew up, and the Zaydas grew up, and the Babas grew up. But listen to this, and it's a little bit, it's mechayev to us. The hey says the Meiri, Shima'av nog b'minus chasidus. If a parent does something which is minus chasidus, does something which is extra, he mechayev es es haben lechaz ba k'minus adin. Then the child has to do it not as an extra thing, but the child has to go in the parents' derech. Wow. That's something that the Torah is mechayev us. Ad shim yanechenu, roi lanish hakata. Therefore, that he doesn't do it, it actually gets an einish. It's actually a chet.
Yeah,
so Shmuel's sons, just one second. So Shmuel's sons went, and they didn't travel, they did like everyone else. But if their father did something extra, they should have done it because the father did it. If Mar Ukva's father kept something which was the midas chasidus to not eat, they should also have not eaten. So he says that's the pshat over here. What is the Teichacha? Is Avram Avinu, are you living up to Avram Avinu? Are you living up to Yitzchak? So when it says in the Teichacha that I will remember the Avos, means you're going to remember the Avos, all the good things that they did. Are you doing those good things? Are you following in their ways? Are you up to what they're doing? So therefore, that's why he says so beautifully, it's part of Teichacha. So we learn something which is very, very amazing and also really very nogeyatas, that we really have to remember things that our parents did. And if our father, let's say, a person has a father who was very, he used to be very medactic to go to davening on time, let's say, just an example. So it's not that the child, you know, has to be more careful, let's say, davening on time, you're supposed to anyway, but something that he did, you know, which was extra, used to get up and say, tikkun chatzayis, something that which a parent did, or a mother cried tears by lift benching, so you're trying to cry tears by lift benching, something which the others did, that becomes something which we're actually, in a sense, mechuyev to do. I was listening to a shir that it said last year, so I was talking about my father, Lovashom, was the yortzeit this past Thursday, I'll say the story over, that I met somebody at the Aguda dinner, and he comes over to me, he's a person about 40, in his 40s, and he says, you know, your father made a tremendous reishim on me. So I said,
my father,
Lovashom. So he grew up in Milwaukee, and he says, what was the story that he made him a reishim? He says, when my father was very elderly, he used to walk with two canes. He did very hard for him to walk. He walked with two canes. He used to krich, was I guess what you call it. It was very, they didn't have, right, this is, yeah, three walkers. He walked with two canes. It was very hard for him to walk. And he used to go to shul. I remember the shul was like 4 blocks, so he used to walk. It would take a half hour to go like 3 blocks. It was an avoda for him, and he used to struggle to walk to shul. But he was very much, he did it. So this fellow comes over and he says, you know, when your father was an older man, I was like 7 or 8 years old. I was a kid. And I never liked to go to shul. I didn't want to bother. I was lazy. I didn't go to shul. I never got up. My parents had a hard time with me. He says, I was walking on Shabbos, and I saw your father walking. And I said, if that man can go to shul with such mysterious nefesh, I can go to shul too. And he says, and Ad Hayayim, he says, because of that, I became dedicated to going to shul. And now he's the president of the Aguda of West Lawrence. He called me the other day. He's the president of Aguda. That's how he became aduk to going to shul by seeing and learning from somebody else. So you know, so he learned from my father, the Midas Yisera. So therefore, a person has to learn from the parents. He has to learn from the grandparents. And if they did something which is as shein azach, you should try to be oiches in that as well. Okay, let's take a look in our parsha. And then we'll go on now to our parsha in a little bit, and we'll talk about Shavuos as well. We're talking about entire. Take a look at Perek Aleph, Pasuk Mem Tes. We talk about what does Moses Sefer Bamidbar talk about? Sefer Bamidbar talks about a lot of it's about the Machna of Klal Yisrael, where the Shvatim resided, where the Shvatim. There's 12 Shvatim, each one had how many people they had, and where they went in the scope of things. So it says that they all, the way it worked is they were by Machnos, they were by the Golem, and each one, we're going to go on page 379, each one was to the south, one was to the north, east, west, three Shvatim, 12 Shvatim surrounding, inside was the Levium, and inside of that was the Shechina, was the Arna Kodesh, was the Mishkan. So the Pasuk tells us in Memtes, Achaz Mate Levi Lo Sifkai. You don't count them with everybody else. They're special. And they will live around the Mishkan. And that's how the Sima are going to be set up. So Reb Galinsky says he was once speaking before Yom Kippur. And he saw that the Olam, he was giving a drasha, you know, a Shabbos, a tshuva drasha, whatever, before Yom Tovim, Yom Noroyim. And he saw that the Olam wasn't in the proper frame of mind. They were joking around, they weren't taking it seriously. So he turns to them and he says, you know, he says, I can see that the Olam, like, isn't too worried about the Yom Noroyim. You know, he said, you guys probably think Yom Noroyim, that's for the Chilayim, they have to worry about it. He says, by you, tefillin, you, do you wear tefillin? Manich, we wear tefillin. Shalosh tefillin is the Yom, you daven 3 times, and Mispalim, we daven. Shabbos, Shoymrim. Kosher, Oichlim. He says, Ma lanu lifkon mi mishpat. So what are we worried about? What do we have to worry about? That's what he said to them. So he said, he didn't want to go in the derech of telling him, think about how much kavani you have in tefillah, think about how much Hilchos Shabbos you don't know, about Hilchos Kashrus you don't know. He didn't want to go in a negative. So he says, he dealt with them in another way, in a positive way, a very clever way he dealt with them. But he said like this, he says, there's a concept that is brought in Svarim called Das Balabatim, is Hepech Das Torah. That the Das of Balabatim means, is the opposite of Das Torah. Das Torah is somebody who's informed through Torah values. Das Balabatim is somebody who uses his own seichel, his own, you know, logical process without looking into the Torah. So for example, he gives an example, a beautiful example. It says when the state of Israel first started, as there is today, there was a tremendous struggle for neshamas. Because they were bringing over many people from the Sephardic lands who had been from their whole life for thousands of years, and they were trying to nebuch to shmad them, to make them not from, which they were largely successful. And they worked for different groups like Pelim and so on. Some of you might remember, you know, collecting money as a kid. I remember we used to go around for Pelim and Yad Lachem and all these things. And they were trying to do that. So they went to the Chazon Ish, and you remember the Chazon Ish telling them, they were complaining to the Chazon Ish that people, you know, they curse us and they threaten us and so on. And the Chazon Ish telling them, excuse me, you're a soldier of HaKadosh Baruch Hu's army. He says, soldiers are used to being shot at. That's, you're supposed to be ready for this. That's your job. So don't be scared. You have to plow. And this is a milchama for Hashem. You have to plow it on. So he was talking about a certain time when in Tel Aviv, where he said, he mentioned that we're like going to Tel Aviv is very hard because it's, you know, that's going to the Chilonim's place where they, you know, they own Tel Aviv. They only, that's the Chiloni place, that's the secular place. So it's a little hard to go there. So Chazon Ish got very upset and he banged on the table. He says, that's the Chilonim's place? That's the Ribbono Shel Olam's place. They stole it from the Ribbono Shel Olam. So he says, we're taking back what's ours. Heshev HaSegzela Shagozal. So he says, that, and he says, not only that, he says, there's a neighbor called Baruchov. I know, because my brother used to live right next to Baruchov. There was a shul in my brother's block in Rehov Bar Kochba called Baruchov Shul. He says, in the charter of the shul, it's in the charter of the neighbor, it says, they're not allowed to have any shuls in this neighborhood. And you go to Baruchov now, there's shuls every block. So he says, we can win this war, we can fight, we can get it back. So he says, my das was das balabatim. I looked at it, and I said, it belongs to the Chilonim. His das was das Torah. Because he looked at it and says, no, it doesn't. It belongs to the Ribbono Shel Olam. And they're taking it. So he says, how you look at something. So he says, the same way. He says, how do we look at life as a whole? We can look at life that, you know, we live our life, we go to work, we raise a family, we eat, we sleep. And also, we're from people. So he says, we go to shul, and we give tzedakah, we do all these beautiful things.
We go to shir.
Oh. He says, oh, but das is bas balbat. Says that's the wrong way to think about it. He says the Torah, Dafke puts, you know, the question is why is Parshas Bamidbar right before Shavuos? Why do we do Parshas Bamidbar? He says because Bamidbar is teaching us a fundamental lesson in life in how we as Orthodox and from Jews should look at life. And the way we look at life is Saviv LaMishkan Yachna. It's just the opposite. It's not that we live our life as regular folks and then we also, because we're from, we do these mitzvahs, but we're living our lives as Kedusha. So the inside is the Kedusha. So the beginning is the Mishkan and right in the middle. The Levium who are in charge of the Ruchnias, they're surrounding it. And the rest of us who represent the regular life, that's the outside. So he says, that's the reason we learned Sefer Bamidbar. Because he asked a good question. He says, you know, if you take a look, all Hilchos Shabbos, how many Pesukim are devoted to Hilchos Shabbos? What, you know, the actual halachas, not
three.
Keep Shabbos? No. One. It says, Eilah HaDvarim. That, or what says, you know, one halach of Lo Sevar Esh B'chol Moshe Sekar, it's almost not there. You have to build it out. Shechita, how do you do Shechita? How exactly does it work? It's all of the Torah Shebaal Peh. So he said, and all of a sudden we take a whole Sefer to talk about something. And remember, it's not Nogeh. It's what was in the Midbar thousands of years ago. So why are we spending so much ink, so to speak, on such a thing which is not Nogeh Hayoyim? And other things which are Nogeh every day, you get Torah Shebaal Peh. The answer is this is fundamental. Because this is fundamental before everything. What is the ikar of our life? Why are we in this world? Are we in this world to just go through life, however, and keep mitzvahs? Or we like to keep mitzvahs and go through life? And that's really a fundamental difference. It's not just nomenclature. It's not just a way of saying it. But it really means, Sav L'Mishkan Yachnu, who we are as from Yidden, is to be, in that sense, of Sav L'Mishkan Yachnu, in order to dwell around the Mishkan. And that really defines who we are. And he says, that's Das Torah. Hareza Mabit, that's the right look. By Yom Noroyim, Boim Aleinu, he says there was Yom Noroyim, is we have to, you know, take a look seriously at who we are. What's the centrality of our life? What makes us, you know, I don't want to bring up a communist Russia, but they used to have 5-year plans. You know, they always had these 5-year plans. They always flopped, but they had 5-year plans. And when they sit in the beginning and say, where do we want to be in 5 years from now? And somehow we have to take a look at Ruchni, a stock of ourselves also. Where do we want to be in 5 years? How many mitzvahs do we want to try and accomplish? How much chesed do we want to do? How much Torah do we want to learn? You know, make a plan, like Rabbi Fran famously said at the Sima Shas. And that'll make the difference. Grada, I'll just say one more story with that, is that, telling a few stories, is that there's somebody here in our office who has an anical. And that child, after the Sima Shas, was about 9 years old. And after the Sima Shas was over, at home, he went home, and it was 2:00 in the morning, and his parents, he's not sleeping, going to his room, not sleeping, he's sitting by his desk, and he's writing. So he said, what are you doing? So he says, you know, Rabbi Fran said, you have to have a plan. So I'm making my plan. He says, I want to try and finish all of Mishnayos by my bar mitzvah. I'm working out how I'm going to do it. And this year he finished.
Wow.
He did all the teachers in Mishnayos 4 years. In the 3.5 years, 3.5, but whatever it is, 3.5 years. It's 3.5 years, believe it or not. It was August of 2012. We're now 2000. Actually, it's almost 4 years. 2016, 2 months before. So he took the plan and he took it seriously. So he was saying, and that's how really we have to look at life. We have to say, this, the words, for the word Sovlan Mishkan Yachnu is worth the whole price of admission today. Sovlan Mishkan Yachnu, to know that that's the Torah is teaching us. Before you go into Shavuos, before you go into Matan Torah, you have to have your bearings straight. And the Das Torah bearings is Sovlan Mishkan Yachnu. Last 2 weeks ago, we talked about Rus. And we talked about why Rus is blamed on Shavuos. We know it has so much to do with Shavuos, and we talked about what it has to do with the Melech Mashiach, and we talked about why it is that Rus HaMoavi is called Rus HaMoavi. After all, it's not such a nice moniker to be called Rus HaMoavi and not called Rus HaTzadekis or Rus Imenu. There's a lot of names we could give Rus. To call her after Moavi is like, you know, is not a compliment. And we gave a beautiful, I think, explanation. We heard from Reb Tzadik and from the Kotzker. So now I'd like to say another pshat on why we lane Rus at this time of the year, and what it has to do with the Yontav of Shavuos, with Matan Torah, and Bechal with Yadus as a whole. So let's learn a few of the first psukim of Rus, page 671. Because this will be, I mean, really we should learn the whole Rus, but you know, we don't have that much time, so we'll do psukim just to get into it. It was a time of the judging of the judges. They rubbed ba'aretz, and there was a famine. Vayelech ish mi beis lechem Yehuda, and a man went from beis lechem Yehuda lager b'stei Moav to live in the land of Moav. Hu v'ishtai u'shnei banav, he and his wife and his two sons. V'shem ish Elimelech, and the name of the man was Elimelech. V'shem ishto Nami, and his wife's name was Nami. Shem shnei banav, and they had two sons, Machlon v'Kilion. We're making a big deal of giving history lesson here. What happened? Mi beis lechem Yehuda vayavo stei Moav, and they came stei Moav v'isham, and they lived there. Vayomas Elimelech ish Nami, and he died. Vatishar hiu shnei b'nei, and she was with her two daughters. Vayusalem noshim Moavis, and after he died, they married them off. Shem achas orpam shem hashenis Rus. Vayesh sham kaser sham, there 10 years. Vayimusa gam shneim Machlon v'Kilion, and Machlon Kilion died. Vatishar ishu mishnei yoladeh. Umiisha, she doesn't have her children, she doesn't have her husband, and the whole story starts. So why are we bringing in this historical background with Machlon and Kilion and Elimelech? What was the whole story over here? So let's understand, who is Elimelech? Elimelech was the God of Ador. And what happened over here? There was a famine. And what did Elimelech do in response to that famine?
He left.
He went away. He did a terrible thing. He went away. And then, not only he died, but his sons died as well. So he says, L'char avakasha. The kasha is very simple. What is the Matan Torah telling us? Matan Torah is telling us the importance of the Klal Yisrael being an Am HaNifrid, Am Levad Yishkan, a nation by itself. What do we say when we make Birchas HaTorah? We say, Asher Barchem Banami Kol Amim. who chose us to be different, to be separate. What do we say? Hayom hazeh niyas am la'Hashem Elokecha. What are you going to be? Yivisim li'segula mikol ha'amim. You're going to be a segula, you're going to be different. V'atem ti'il mechlechus kahanu v'gai kaddish. Our job as Jews is try and make ourselves elevated. And when we're elevated, we can help everybody else with Kedusha. We bring Kedusha into the world. That's why, of course, we know the Rav Yisrael says why Klal Yisrael has to be exiled to all of the different nations. Because we have to bring Kedusha into every world, every place we go. So the question is, if we're supposed to be separate, right? And we make Havdalah, we say, Hamavdim and Kaj L'chol, and we say, Ben Yisrael Amin. So why in Rus is Dafka the opposite? Rus is where we brought Moavi into it, where we mixed with other nations. What happened to Machlon the Kilion? It says they married Moavim. They went and married Moav. And what happened when Elimelech ran away? Where did he run to? He ran to Moav. So, Lachar, this is the opposite. Are we supposed to be a nation apart, which is trying to be elevated? Are we supposed to be bringing in others? How do we understand it? So he says that the emphasis is, what is the Jewish people? What is the Iker of the Torah, and what is the Iker of the Jewish people? The Iker of the Jewish people is Chesed. It says Avram Avinu Yosef as the Uma Yehudas b'Mahit Stayin. What did he set the Jewish people up in Achnasas Archim? He says when he wanted to find a son, a wife for Yitzchak, what was the test? We've talked about this in the Shir this year. What was the test that he chose? Was it a test if she gets angry? Was it a test if she's charitable?
Kind.
Was she's kind? The test was on Chesed. So everything we take a look at is Chesed. Is Avram is Moshe Rabbeinu? It says VeYigdal. He wants to see what's doing with him. Everything is chesed. The whole Torah is gebayt on chesed. Who is the one nation that's not allowed to come into Klal Yisrael? Amen and Moav. Why? Because they didn't do chesed. Shalokid meschem b'mayim. Because they didn't come and didn't bring you food and water. Shalokid meschem b'lechem mayim. B'derech seis mitzrayim. So the one nation that's not allowed in is because they didn't do chesed. So we see that the defining character, even the Mitzrayim allowed in. Mitzrayim were already good guys because they kept you for a while. So we see that the ikar of the Umma Yisraeli, which defines is to be Bali Chesed. And somebody who's a nation that's not Bali Chesed, we got a problem. We don't want to leave that in. If anybody knows the story, do you know the story of the Gevinim? The Gevinim were a nation, like this interesting story, that David HaMelech went with these people when they killed out Noiv Ir HaKohanim. So the Gevinim lost their parnasa, and they complained to David HaMelech. And it's a whole story over there. The bottom line is that when David HaMelech said, "So what can I do to make it up to you? We talk it did wrong to you. What can I do it up?" They said, "Give us 7 children from the Malchus of Shaul. We want to kill them." That was what they wanted. So David HaMelech said, "These people," he asked anybody marrying them. Said such cruelty, such exory, such wickedness, that's not part of the Jewish people. The Jewish people are chesed. We want chesed. And these Gevinim are the opposite of chesed. We can't have them in. So we don't want them. So Moav is the one nation that we don't want in here. So let's ask and see what happened. Why did Elimelech die? Because he acted like Moav. He moved to Moav and he acted like a Moavi. He didn't do chesed. He refused to help the people. He became like a Moavi. He went and it wasn't just a matter that he refused to deal with them and he left. But he went in the Derech of Moav. The Derech of Moav, we don't want this Klal Yisrael. So Hashem said, that's it. I'm finished with you. His sons, same thing. They grew up in Moav. So therefore, HaKadosh Baruch Hu said, these are not my people. And they weren't there. But who went and did just the opposite? Who was from Moav? It was Rus. Because Rus, you constantly find in the Psukim that she's always, what are the two sentences? If you take a look and you take out the whole Rus and you take it down to what did Nomi say to her? And what did, right? She said, wherever you go, I go. And what did she say? Nomi says to her, the chesed that you did with me. And what is Bayez biti? Hey, tavta chasu imi, imadi the chesed you did with me, levilti lechas akre abachurim. Because you were willing to marry me, you didn't marry a young man, you're willing to go with me. I appreciate that chesed. So Bayez told her, you're a balas chesed. What did Nomi say to her? Vatoimer Nomi, yasa Hashem imachem chesed, Hashem should do with you ches kasher sisim ima mesim imadi, like you did with the mesim, meaning machlin, killing you like you did with me. So everything that Rus did was chesed. Everything Ruth did was chesed. She was the opposite of Moav. So we see the juxtaposition between the two. So they were expelled from the Klal Yisrael, and she was brought into the Klal Yisrael. Because she took that trait of chesed, and she brought it to its ultimate degree. She took a chesed, believe me, remember she was a princess of Moav. She was high ranking. She didn't have to do these things. And when she came with Naomi, she went into the fields. Can you imagine what it's like for a princess to go in the fields and get down on her knees? Because remember, she did it with tznius. She got on her knees in order to do that. That must have been very hard for her. But she did it because she was the essence of chesed. And he says, the Gemara tells us, a beautiful Gemara, Darsh Reb Simlai says, Tarot chilasa gemilas chesed v'saifa gemilas chesed. Tarot starts with chesed, it ends with chesed. Tchilas gemilas chesed, the beginning is chesed, because it says, Vayas Hashem alikim l'adam l'ishta kasas or. When they were thrown out of Gan Eden, it says Hashem made for them garments of leather. And what's the end of the Tarot gemilas chesed? Vayikfros sam begai. And Hashem buried Moshe Rabbeinu in the place called Gai. Says Rabbi Yerucham ben Lemir, whenever we say of any book or anything, the first paragraph and the last paragraph talk about the same thing, that means that's really what the whole book was about. You start with it, that's the theme, in the first paragraph is when you get the theme, and you end with that theme, because the Torah is Kula Chesed. Says the Vilna Gaon, that most of the Torah, almost all of the mitzvah, if you analyze them, almost every mitzvah is around to make people happy, to make people satisfied, to make even halachas of getting, masu matin, of commerce and business, is also for people to be happy to get along together. That's really what it's all about. So he says all the Torah is to make people happy, is to do chesed. So Torah is kula chesed, Rus is kula chesed. So we want to take, when we're coming to Matan Torah, we're coming to Shavuos, and we're saying, what is the essence of Torah? What is the Torah there for? Torah is there for chesed. And therefore we take somebody who is the essence of chesed, and that becomes the person. So when it says Rus is the gematria of how much? Figure it out. 610. Rus is what? Reish. This is right.
607. 606.
And the seven mitzvahs, of Rabbanim, actually seven mitzvahs of Rabbanim, is 613 mitzvahs. Because Rus was chesed, and she shows that all the mitzvahs are chesed. And therefore that's why we do Rus on this beautiful time of the year. And we put out the flowers, remind ourselves, you've gone to the shul, and it's beautifully decorated, many of the shuls. It's mamsha mechaya to go into shul. It smells good, it looks good. And we have a certain feeling that this is what Matan Torah is like. So I'll just end with one machshava. We're coming up to Aliyah L'Regel. That what is the concept is Aliyah L'Regel, we all go up to the regel. It was the mitzvah, everybody went up to the base of Migdash. I want to just tell you, I had that feeling of Aliyah L'Regel. In Muncie, they have a burning of the chametz before Pesach. So because not safe, everyone should burn in their own place, because chas v'shalom, there shouldn't be a fire. So they take a big dumpster, and they take a big open piece of land, and there's fire trucks, and the whole shtot comes to burn it. And I said, I was walking there, and there was 1,000 men, women, children, and the Hasidim dressed with shtreimlich already, and they're coming and all get kledert, and everybody's freilich and laughing and good, everything's in a good mood. I said, this must be Aliyah L'Regel. Thousands of people streaming toward the Beis Hamikdash, filled with excitement, filled with simcha, getting ready for the big yontif, salavai. We're coming up to one of the beautiful yontivim, the Shavuos of Matan Torah. We should remember the chesed of Rus, and the chesed that we all, that's what we'll do. Shall have a lichtige Shavuos and a wonderful yontif.